this virus affecting Latin America? Let's talk about that on today's Hot Zone.
This is the Hot Zone. Engaging with the news in a whole new way, international war correspondent Chuck Holton brings insight into areas of crisis and lets you help those affected.
Hey folks, Chuck Holton here, coming to you from my home studio, entering our fourth week, actually, of coronavirus shutdown quarantine. I was completely quarantined for the first 2 weeks, and so far since then, I've gotten to leave my house twice for about an hour each time. And I tell you what, this is really getting difficult. They told us that we were going to be on shutdown for, or on quarantine like this. They call it total quarantine for a month until the 22nd of this month. But as I look around Latin America, what I see is not very exciting. It's not very encouraging. First of all, Panama is not flattening the curve so far. I don't know how, because if everybody was staying home, we wouldn't be seeing the numbers that we're seeing. But the number of cases in Panama is climbing steadily toward 3,000. And I read this morning that they've only got 19 ICU beds left and about 5 ventilators. And so as these numbers keep climbing, they're identifying in the 200 range of new cases every day. And so, boy, that's not good. One of the problems is Panama has been very reticent to allow any foreign medical personnel to operate inside the country. So, for example, we have friends, one friend who's a physician's assistant in the United States. She is 100% not allowed to practice in any way, shape, or form here in Panama. That needs to change. They need to start calling on foreign health workers and allowing them to come here and help out. They've been trying to frantically build a new hospital capacity in Panama City, mostly where the majority of the cases are, but they're not coming online fast enough. And they keep making the quarantine more and more restrictive. But what that's doing to the people is making them more and more desperate. Because, I mean, it's one thing for me. I've got almost a 5,000 square foot house. We've got about an acre of property. We can go out and run around and play with the dogs and work out in the home gym and sit on the roof at night and watch, the sunset. And so we're not hurting in any way, shape, or form. This is pretty much a vacation for us. But a lot of people here in Panama are stuck in tiny little homes about the size of your walk-in closet, maybe a little bit bigger. Many of our friends have homes maybe the size of my master bedroom, and they don't have much of a yard, and they can't go out. And even if they could go out, the only reason you can leave your home legitimately is to go grocery shopping, and they don't have any money to go grocery shopping. So the government has instituted a program where they'll give about $300 to people who are out of work. But unfortunately, that only applies to people who are not officially employed, who were not employees at the time of the shutdown. So we're talking like people who sold things on the side of the road at stoplights and stuff like that. I mean, prostitutes, maybe, things like that, that they worked in the informal economy. They are the ones who are getting the what they call bono solidario. And from what I'm being told, people who are actually still employed, technically still employed, even though everything's closed, are not getting that bono solidario. And so they are supposed to receive like bags of food. The government has been driving around handing out thousands of bags of food, but they're not getting anywhere near enough of them distributed to help the people, to help all the people who need them. So what I'm saying is we have people who are literally starving here in Panama, and they just can't stay indoors much longer. A lot of people are just flaunting the what they call toque de queda, the quarantine. They're just flaunting it and just going out anyway. Now, there are supposed to be big fines for people that are caught breaking quarantine, but most of these people don't have any money to begin with. So if they get caught, they just go, "Heh, don't have any money." We've seen some sort of humorous ways that the police are trying to deal with that by like making them do push-ups and making them walk around with their hands on their head and things like that. But in reality, that's not helping a whole lot. I saw today video of them making quarantine breakers, giving them brooms and say, "Hey, if you want to be out, you're going to clean the streets." And they had a whole brigade of these people out in Cologne that were sweeping the streets and stuff. Not like that's going to help a whole lot. One thing I noticed in the very short time that I was able to go out is that people don't have any clue about social distancing, even though it's been talked about and talked about and talked about ad nauseum. When I was standing in line at the grocery store, I looked around and the people behind me were coming right up to me like they always do and standing right behind me. Very few people had masks on. So it's no wonder that if the only place people are allowed to go is the grocery store, that means everybody's going to the grocery store. You can't go out and exercise. You can't go for a walk with your dog. So everybody's just going to the grocery store. And so that's where they're all congregating and they're passing around the virus. So I think that in the long run, on a per capita basis, it's going to hit Latin America harder in the end than it does even the United States. And I'm reading that in the United States, they're talking about we could be looking at 18 months of rolling blackout or rolling quarantines. I've read so far that Venezuela just announced that they're going to extend their quarantine another 30 days. I fully expect Panama to do the same. I was just reading about how Colombia doctors are walking off the job and just refusing to work because A, they haven't been paid in months. B, they haven't been given proper protective equipment. And so they're saying, "You cannot force us to commit suicide. We're not going to do this if we won't get the support from the government that we need to do our job. If we don't get paid, how can we continue to work? Because we've got families too, and you really can't blame them." But so what we're seeing is this sort of incremental growth of the number of COVID cases across Latin America. And there's a real divide here, just like there always is with the income gap. I mean, people in the upper income brackets like us, we're really not suffering too much. But people in the lower income brackets, they truly are. So I think that when you talk about Latin America, you're not talking about third world countries. You're talking about developing countries and semi-developed countries. I mean, Panama is a first world country, I believe, for the most part. Now, there are parts of Panama out in the countryside that are what you would consider to be developing countries, but most of those are pretty well insulated anyway, so they're probably not going to have to worry so much about this virus. But I just wonder how in the world the world is going to deal with the cost, the fallout, the economic cost of this. Let's talk for a minute about what this is costing the United States. So if you just do some basic back of the napkin math, and the Federal Reserve they've passed this $2.1 trillion stimulus program. But in addition to that, they've been pumping trillions of dollars into the Federal Reserve, into the economy. They've dropped interest rates to zero. The total bill so far, from what I can tell, is something around $6 trillion. Now, if you divide that by the number of people in the United States who have died from the coronavirus, it shows that the U.S. government has spent more than $300 million for every person who has died of this flu. Now, can you imagine that kind of cost for anything else outside of outright war? I mean, yet we have seen the government spend that kind of money in only one other place, and that is in actual battle when we're in war in Afghanistan, in Iraq, in places like that, the Vietnam War, things like that. I would say that that is the only other place I can find where we have spent that kind of ridiculous amount of money per combat death. And the bottom line is we can't continue that. We've also seen in the United States that over 1,000 people have lost their jobs already for every person who has died from the virus. That's not sustainable. And we have already probably damaged our economy in the United States to the point where it will take a decade, maybe even a generation to fix. Now, that's going to depend very much on who we have in the White House, who we have driving the economy. But when you look at that, I mean, it is going to be, I'll tell you this, Panama, as badly as it is being hit, Panama will recover faster than the United States will. And if you look just at the national debt, Panama is freaking out right now because they're approaching about 44% of our gross domestic product here in national debt. And the Panamanian economy stipulates that they cannot borrow more than 46% of GDP. That's the cap. That's the max that they can borrow. Now, they find ways around that sometimes, I think. But the bottom line is right now they're sitting about 44% of GDP. Well, can you guess where the United States is when it comes to national debt versus GDP? We're already well over 100%. It's about 120%, I think. Something like 24, 25 trillion in national debt. That's the official debt count. And the U.S. economy before the COVID virus was running about 20 trillion a year as its gross domestic product. So we're already more than 100% borrowed. But that's also not taking into account the fact that the government has gotten really good at borrowing money in ways that they don't count as debt. So what I mean is, if you go back and look at actual unfunded liabilities, these are bills that are going to come due in the next 10 or 15 years that have to be paid. And we're talking about bills to American seniors, bills as far as bonds that have been issued, things like that go, and other things that the government is going to have to pay, but they don't call it debt. We're talking about closer to $200 trillion. That is 10 times our gross domestic product. Those are things that are actively costing the American taxpayer right now. Bottom line is, doesn't look good, folks, from a financial perspective. And so we're going to have to change the way we do things in the United States. And I would say that it's important, it's imperative for all of us to, number one, not depend on the government to save us. You may be getting your check from the IRS. Don't believe it when they call that a stimulus check. That is a return of your tax dollars. It is your money that they're giving back to you. So, big deal. They gave me back less than 10% of what I paid last year in taxes. Whoopee. That's not going to help a whole lot. But it is imperative that you take it upon yourself to be prepared, to set money aside and save money, and to realize that it's up to us to help people in need. It's not the government's job to send you a check. It's not the government's job to help the people who are poor, who are sick, who are aged. That's our job. And it's the job of those parallel structures to government called churches and other non-governmental organizations to help the people in need. So that's the best I can do for today. As we look around the world, we see empty streets, we see empty factories, we see empty airports. That is not good and it's not sustainable. What you're going to start to see if this goes on for another month or two is, maybe not in the United States, but I can tell you for sure in Latin America, we're going to see some pretty serious civil unrest. As people just, when you get hungry enough, you're going to go out and start burning things down. And so be prepared, folks. Be prepared. I'm really worried about what I'm seeing in Latin America right now. And I hope I'm wrong. And if I am, I will gladly admit to having been wrong. But so far, the signs are not looking good. So pray for Latin America. Pray for America. Pray for the whole world. As we celebrated this unprecedented Easter away from our churches, away from our houses of worship, away from the people we love the most, be grateful for the technology that we have that allows us to reach out to our families. We had a great Zoom call with Connie's family today. That was really cool. And at the very least, we can be grateful and count our blessings for things like that. All right. Stick around, folks. We got more coming up this week, and we're going to keep on going. Thank God that we've got a home studio we can do these podcasts from, right? I cannot wait until I can get out and start traveling again. And you probably can't either. So we'll talk to you later.
The Hot Zone is produced by Amy Holton and Livefire Media. Copyright 2019.